The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Father, thank you for revelation that comes from your word. And this morning, we open up this place for the teaching of the word, revelation or trance, and for the working of miracles, the prophetic results that will alter our lives forever. You see, said the Lord, I'm going to put a word in your tongue and put a song in your tongue, one which you will speak and you will dance to. Yeah. And that would be the answer you've been looking for. For somewhere in the meeting, I will put a song in your tongue, I will put a word in your mouth, I will drop it in your spirit, and it shall rise, and you shall speak it, and you shall sing it, and you shall dance it. And that will be the answer to everything you've been waiting for. And the time is here, says the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Are you ready for God's word? Hallelujah. Let's be seated. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let me look to your left and to your right, and welcome your neighbor to church this morning. A very warm smile. And better mean it. You better mean it. Hallelujah. As long as we did this, look at that your neighbor. Say something beautiful, something sweet, something nice to that person. Come on, something very nice. Say something, compliment the person. You look good. I'm happy you are sitting by my side. I'm privileged to have you by my side. Hallelujah. So get a seat if you have one. Hallelujah. So this morning, I'll continue where I stopped last week. I'm teaching on homologio. Hallelujah. Homologio. Now that's not an English word, so if you don't know it, it's fine. It's a Greek word, homologio. It means to confess. It means to confess. Like I gave you the history of that word in the Greek. It came from two Greek words. It's the word homo and logic. And of course, we know homo means same in English language, right? Homo means same. And homo and logos. Homo and logos. Okay, homo means same. Logos means words, to say. So homologio is to say the same thing. To say the same thing. So when I was teaching on homologio, I was teaching on saying the same thing. So if I say you should homologio, I'm saying if I say something, you should say it after me. So all we're teaching in this month is how to take God's word, put it on your tongue, and that will change your life. It's how to change your life by your words. It's how to change your situation. But one of the things that this service is going to do for you is to let you know that you are carrying the greatest weapon that can change your entire life. But many of us have not learned to engage it. The greatest weapon that can change your life, you carry it. I gave an example with James chapter 3. You know, when the apostle James said, tells us how the tongue might be the smallest part of the body. But it controls the entire body. I tell you, you are not going to get to your next level with your two legs. It is your words that take you to your next level and not your legs. I get the point. The next place you are going to in life, you will get. If I let me say this to you, whether you know it or not, whether it was deliberate or not, where you are today was by the words you spoke yesterday. And where you will be next year
will be by the words you are speaking today. And so if you are such a Christian that does not know how to talk, you are going to have a lot of things happening to you and you'll be complaining. I've taught you here, the believer should not have things happening to him. The believer makes things happen. I get what I'm saying? Things don't happen to me. I make things happen and they happen for me. That's the believer. And how you make things happen for you will be by the things you say. If you are, there are two sides of unbelief. I showed you last week. I'm just going over last week. Two sides of unbelief. One, if you say nothing at all, you're in unbelief. If you say nothing at all, people just watch that situation and it happens and are just there. That's a big sign of unbelief. And you're not going to get, I tell you what you're going to get if you say nothing, what you are saying, nothing. Are you getting the point? What do we get out of life if you say nothing? It's nothing. And most times we think Satan is such a gentleman that if you don't disturb him, he will not disturb you. No, if you don't say anything, Satan will do things to you. If you say nothing, you are not believed. Secondly, if you say the wrong words, you are not believed too. If you say nothing, you are not believed. If you say the wrong words, you are not believed. Many of us don't realize that the reason why we are where we are today, we are the things we said concerning ourselves some time ago. Things we said in passing. Things we said without thinking about them. And it's not just what I say, it's a spiritual principle. It's a spiritual principle. Hallelujah. First Peter 3 tells us, he said, how many of you want life? I want to see good days. He said, let him refrain his tongue that he speak no guile. So you cannot see good days if you're always very loose with your words. And one of the warnings I gave us last week is that a believer cannot be loose with his words. A believer cannot be someone that says anything because he is going to have what he says. He is going to have what he says. If a believer keeps saying, well, I'm just suffering, he will keep suffering. And it doesn't matter what every other person says concerning him. He will have what he says. So last week I was showing us how you can take what God has done for you in Christ Jesus and put it to your lips. I gave an example. There are different sides to this confession thing. The part we looked at last week was the part where you look at what God has done for you in Christ and you begin to say them. Things like your righteousness. How many of us know we are righteous in Christ? How many of us know that our sins are forgiven? Now, you take those things. 1 John 2 verse 12. He says, I write unto you, little children, for your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. You look at that and you take it and begin to speak it. Now, pay careful attention. Please attention. When you begin to say what God has done for you in Christ, it will not make that thing happen. Neither will it make it happen further because it has already happened. Look at this verse. Your sins are forgiving is in the past. It's something that has happened. So when I begin to say, oh, I'm forgiven in Christ, it will not make me more forgiven. I get the point. What it will rather do to me is that it will, first of all, make me more aware of those that have happened to me and make me believe them the more and make me grow in them. I showed you all that last week. So when I look at what God has done in Christ, for instance, God gave us power in Christ. I want to know we have power in Christ. He said, God has given us his authority. Luke 10:19, he says, behold, I give unto you power. When you see those things, what do? You pick them from God's word. Because God said he has given me, I begin to say, I have power. When I begin to say, I have power, I am not going to have more power than I already have. What is going to happen is that the more I keep saying it, the more I am aware and convinced of that power. And that way, I can walk in that thing that God has given me. Are you following me? So I look at the Bible. The Bible tells you, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21. For God made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. We pick it and begin to say it. I'm righteous. I'm righteous. When you are saying it, notice, it will not even make you more righteous because you're already righteous. But when you continue saying them, you are becoming more aware. Just like when you give birth to a child and you give the child a name. You say, what's his name? At first, when he's born, his name is not anything. His name is baby. Hallelujah. And another time, you can name the child. What do you name the child now? Maybe anything. Name the child. Amen. You don't tell anything. Maybe name him Christian. At first, when you call him Christian, he's not going to answer you. Do you observe that? By that constant repetition, Then the child begins to grow. They ask, what is your name? My name is Christian. The more he keeps saying it, the more he's becoming aware. Now, he was already Christian, whether he knew it or not. But saying it, hearing it and saying it, will make him more aware that this is who you are. Are you getting the point? You're already righteous in Christ. The Bible is so certain on that. God made him to be sin who knew no sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Whether you know it or not, if you're a believer, you're righteous. I showed you last week that we are holy, we are sanctified. It's in the Bible, clearly speaking. Clearly written. If you check 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 11, it said, but you are washed. Put it up. But you are washed. You are sanctified. You say, I'm washed. Come on, do you have a voice this morning? Say, I'm washed. I'm sanctified. I'm justified. Now, when you are saying it, now, did he say you should be sanctified? Did he say you should be washed? What did he say? You are. And so, because you are, when you are saying it, it's not going to make you more washed. But it will make you more aware of how washed you are. And I looked at all of that last week. And that's a part of confession you mustn't play with. That's a part of confession. You must always say, that's why you must even know what God has done for you in Christ. And then always say them. You must know. Many of us don't even know. That's why you see believers, because they don't know who they are in Christ, they keep praying, asking God for what he has already given to them. You see a believer praying, Father, please make me righteous. The Bible said you are righteous. Once you are born again, once you have put your faith in what Christ has done, you're righteous. And so what do you now do from there? You begin to say it to yourself, I'm righteous, I'm forgiven, my sins are forgiven, I'm no longer a sinner, I'm not a slave to sin, I'm righteous in Christ Jesus, I am a son of God, I'm not a child of the devil, I do not walk in the flesh, I walk in the spirit. You say it to yourself all the time, every time. 1 John 3 verse 2, you say, beloved, now are we the sons of God. So you keep saying that to yourself, now are we the sons of God. So I am not a son of God tomorrow. I will not be a son of God today. As I'm talking to you, this is a son of God. But you can easily forget it. So how do you make sure you don't forget it? You keep hearing it. You keep saying it to yourself. That's why you don't wake up in the morning and just jump out of bed like that and walk around. When you wake up, there are some things you need to hear. And you don't need to hear them from any preacher. You need to hear them from yourself. Are you following me this morning? And so you wake up, you just pace around your room. This man has dominion. This one is righteous in Christ. This one is forgiving. My body functions with the full capacity that God created it to function. Oh, glory to God. If you are struggling with any addiction or any sin, you wake up and you begin to say to yourself, well, this body you are not yielded to sin. My hands is not for iniquity. My legs not for iniquity. My body not for iniquity. This body pleases God alone. You keep saying that because that is what God said about you. That is homologio. I get the point. You take from God's mouth and you put in your own mouth. And I'll tell you what you will learn today when I get into the teaching today. That the word of God in your mouth is as powerful as it is in God's mouth. I'll get to that today. The word of God in the mouth of a believer is as powerful. What I mean, if the same way God came out in Genesis 1 and he said, let there be light, and there was light. If a believer had appeared there and said, let there be light, there will still be light. Come on, are you following me this morning? One thing I told you last week, I don't want to ever forget, because I'm going to get into today's teaching. Don't ever forget the primary purpose of words. I've taught you guys that is a principle in Bible study called the law of first mention. That law will teach you in Bible study that where you see a word or something discussed first in the Bible, especially in Genesis, that carries the true meaning of that word. For instance, the first time you ever see Satan discussed or implied in the Bible is Genesis 3. Do you remember? When he came and deceived Eve. And in that place, you see the true character of Satan. He deceives. He lies. Are you following me? Yeah. The first time you see righteousness discussed in the Bible is Genesis 15 verse 6. It says Abraham believed God and he was counted to him for righteousness. It already tells that righteousness comes by believing. The first time words you are ever spoken in the Bible is Genesis 1. Who spoke? God. What did he say? Let there be light. So, the first time words were ever used in the Bible, it was used for creation and not for communication. Come on, are you following me this morning? So, the primary purpose of words is not for communication, it's to create things. So, most times we think, why do you have a voice? It's for us to be talking. No, it's for you to be creating. Notice the first thing God told Adam when he formed him. After he said, be fruitful, multiply, the first task he gave him was the task of speaking. Did you observe? What did he tell him? Name all the animals, whatever you call them. So, it was the task of talking. A lot of us don't realize that this is a very powerful tool. You just keep your mouth shut, that's what they're going to get. Nothing. Hallelujah. Say, I have a tongue. I can never be down. That's what he said. I have a tongue. I can never be down. And that brings me to today's teaching. You must begin to speak God's word, not just over what God has done for you in Christ. I'm going to the second part of confession now. You must begin to speak God's word over your life. Because the things you say over your life are the things you will get out of life. Life doesn't give you what you deserve. Life gives you what you permit. You didn't hear what I said. You say, well, I deserve good things. Well, you're not going to have good things. Everybody thinks he deserves good things. It's until you begin to permit good things in your life. Matthew 18 verse 18, put it up in the NLT. He says, whatsoever thing, whatever you allow, watch it. Very nice unto you, whatsoever you bind on earth. Put up NLT, you need translation. I tell you the truth, whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. Whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. So contrary to what we think, it is not heaven that controls what happens on earth. It is earth that controls what heaven will permit. And so what will happen in your life are the things you permit. What will not happen in your life are the things you forbid. So life doesn't give you what you deserve. Life gives you what you permit. You are not going to be healthy because you deserve long, deserve health. You will be healthy because you permitted life, good health. You're not going to be rich because you deserve money. Everybody thinks they deserve wealth. You are going to be rich because you permitted wealth in your life. Are you following me this morning? No. And I'll tell you one of the very easy ways to permit things. Look at the next verse. Matthew 18 verse 19. If two of you shall agree concerning any matter, it is by words that you permit things. And so, one question I'm going to ask you as I start teaching is, what do you want to see in your life? It is what you permit in your life that you're going to have. What you forbid from your life, you're not going to have. And people don't realize this. There is no prophet powerful enough to invade your own will. I got what I'm talking about. If you don't want it, you won't have it. That's why next week I'm going to say a little, I promised you that already, I'm going to say a little about the power of amen. That's why when I pray for you and say you are blessed, and you do not receive it by your own words, nothing will happen to you. That's not because I'm not powerful, that's because you did not allow it. Are you what I'm saying? There is no prophet powerful enough to invade your will. If you say you don't want it, you won't want it, you will have it. Let me say this to you. Even God is not powerful enough to give you what you do not accept. He says, I undermine the power of God. Now pay close attention. It is not undermining the power of God. It is God that placed limits to his power. Are you getting the point? God placed limits because, you notice, for instance, God, do you know God wants everybody on earth saved? You know, right? He wants everybody on earth born again. But all men are not born again. Do you know why? Because God is not going to go and force being born again on them. He will still allow them to make their choice. So if God will not force salvation on men, you think God will force healing on you? He won't. He won't force final health on you. He won't. He won't force wealth on you. He won't force progress on you. He won't. He won't. You have to be the one to say, well, I want progress, and you have it. And I'm going to teach you how to do that this morning. Are you ready? Are you ready? Must be ready. Because it is what you permit that you have. That's why you must learn to speak. Not speaking is allowing the devil to do whatever he wants to do. Not speaking over your affairs Any area of life you are not speaking over, you are allowing the devil to do whatever he wants to do. Because the secret I've taught you is this. When you are not, I'm coming to that shortly. When you are not talking, something is talking to you. Satan is throwing his own thoughts at you. So when you do not speak, you are telling the devil, well, do anything you want to do, I accept. Let me show you a scripture. 1 Samuel 17 verse 40. It's a long read, we're going to read it. You know, this is the story of how David defeated Goliath. Many of us think David just went, met Goliath and began to shoot catapults. Things don't work that way. How is it that it was the catapult that David shot that hit him? It wasn't a coincidence. David already did some things when he started meeting Goliath. Many things. Look at this. He took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook. Let me even explain to you. I don't know who taught you that these 5 smooth stones represent Jesus, Jesus. That's nonsense. You know what I said? That's what? Total nonsense. Absolute rubbish. Because the spelling of Jesus in the Hebrew is not even 5. It is Yeshua. Are you following me? It's not 5. Say amen. I said, don't even bring that leg now. He picked 5 stones. They mean, say, it's grace. It's not any grace. It's not number of grace. He picked 5 stones. I will say, wow, those 5 stones present JSUS. It was only the J that killed him. That is where you are looking for what will excite you. The Bible can never mean today what it did not mean last 2 years. It can never mean today what it didn't mean 100 years ago. You cannot read your mind into the Bible. Are you following what I'm saying? So calm down. I'm not, don't be a Rema, they call it Rema, Rema sensitive person. What? He picked 5 stones. How many stones? What does he mean? Funny enough, grace in Greek is not even 5. It's C-H-A-R-I-S. It's 6. But he picked 5. So the Rema have scattered. Somebody was preaching from the Bible, and you open the Bible. One, he says, open your Bible, and they open it. Said, and it came to pass. It shall come to pass in your life. And they opened another translation, and that verse said, therefore, the Rema has scattered. It's with therefore in your life. You know, that's why you need to know God's word for yourself, so that when you are confronting situations, you are even speaking with the right scriptures, not just things you are thinking. He chose 5 stones anyway and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Continue. And the Philistine came on, watch this, this is how Satan comes at you, came on and drew near to David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistines looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, a ruddy and of a fair countenance. Now see what Goliath did. And the Philistines said unto David, am I a dog? This is the game of Satan. Satan talks to you. He talks to you over your health. He talks to you over your finance. If you've not learned how to talk, you're going to lose. Watch. Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistines did what? Cursed David by his gods. Life is a battle of gods. And you fight the battle of gods by talking. So they began to insult David by his gods. They began to invoke his gods. They began to talk. Now see David's reaction. Verse 44. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Satan is always talking. Then said David to the Philistine. Now some of you, what you would have done is, while the Philistine is talking, you'll be saying, God forbid. God forbid. Or you just, in your mind, you'll be like, well, finish talking and let the fight start. It's not about talk. It's not about talk. No, you just know how to fight too. It's about talk. Now, see what David did immediately. thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Glory to God. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee, and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. You know, when you see a man coming to you, talking to you this way, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. That's how to face life. You don't face life in silence. When Satan comes at your health, you begin to talk back to the devil. If you don't say nothing, you're going to get nothing. If David said nothing, the Philistine would have defeated him straight up, because the man has been talking. So notice, David outspoke the man. Said, the Lord will deliver you into my hands. Say, I talk. She said, I talk. You must learn how to use your tongue. You must learn how to engage your tongue. A believer should not wake up in the morning and expect that everything will be fine. A believer should wake up in the morning and make everything fine. Are you following this morning? And how you make everything fine will be by your words. You wake up in the morning, you don't expect that, I know I will help you today. Amen. No, you make it well. You wake up in the morning and you pace around your room and say things like, my health is fine. I am in the best shape of my life. Healing is in my today. Health is in my tomorrow. Sickness is in my past. No sickness stands in my body. I walk in health, I walk in power. The power of God is at work in me. As I speak words of faith, they come to pass. Wealth is in my door. Wealth is in my house. Prosperity is in my windows. I enjoy wealth. Glory to God. As I step out today for my business, I find favor with men. I find favor with men. I come in contact with the right men. You must say these things. It is what you say. This part of confession, what you say makes those things happen. Are you what I'm talking about? I say it all the time. It's even where we are at the church today. We kept talking. Where will be next year? I'm talking now. Why do you think when the years are passed, you hear something like, this is our year of this, this is our year of this, and we keep speaking, no, because those things we are saying that are making things happen. And there are different areas of your life you must speak over, and I teach you something. Don't leave any area of your life unattended to. For instance, every believer must learn to speak over his health. That's why the prayers we pray this morning were very important. You speak over your health. 3 John verse 2, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. That's what God wants. If that is what God wants, then I'll keep saying it. Are you following me? You keep saying it. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 15. I'll just show you one or two promises of God over some areas of your life. Deuteronomy 7 verse 15. And the Lord will take away from thee all sicknesses. I need to say amen to that. Amen. He will take away from thee all sicknesses, and we put one of the evil diseases of Egypt. You know, I believe there is a disease of Egypt. There are things, every disease is of Egypt. What I mean is, every disease is not for God's children. He said, the Lord will take away sickness from thee. He will take, look at it again. The Lord will take away from thee, what? All sicknesses. Headache is part of all sicknesses. When you see verses like this, you carry it. Every morning, the Lord will take away from me. It doesn't matter whether you are down now. It doesn't matter whether you are struggling now. He will take from me all sicknesses. He will put one of the evil diseases of Egypt on me. I use this verse very well. During COVID-19 period, I kept saying, he will not let me have any disease of Egypt. COVID is of Egypt. So what does that mean? It's of the devil. It's not for me. You see the miracle God worked in Egypt. There was an entire nation. A part of that nation, Israel, was living there. Sickness will be killing them in Egypt. That part where Israel was, there is such a thing as the miracle of divine exemption. Where everything can be happening to everybody around. but you, not for you. He will not allow it to come to you. He will not allow it to come to you. Sicknesses. Proverbs 4 verse 20. Let me show you. Proverbs 4 verse 20. Hallelujah. My son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Now, see verse 21. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them. Now, he said, keep them in the midst of your heart. How do you keep God's word in your heart? Do you remember? By saying it. Well, when you keep them in your heart, what will happen? See the next verse. For they are life unto all that find them, and health to their flesh. So the health of your flesh is the word of God. Are you following me this morning? The health of your flesh is God's word. That's why if you have not learned, if you have not started speaking over your health, you are going to have different sicknesses come to you, and you will keep taking medication. That's why you have to put yourself on a constant regimen of speaking over your health. And I tell you, your health is important to God, and it's important to the devil. Because Satan knows that when he keeps your health down, every other thing might go down. And that's why you don't keep short over your health. Put up another translation of this, verse 22. They are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Glory to God. NLT said, for they bring life to those who find them, and healing to their whole body. So if you put God's word on your tongue, you will not be down. Amplified said, healing and health to all their flesh. A particular translation said, it is medicine to their flesh. So the same way you take drugs, I tell you one thing, God's word has both a curative effect and a preventive effect. Do you know what I said? In other words, God's word can serve both as drug you take when you are sick and as immunization before you become sick. In other words, you can take so much of God's word into your system that when sickness hits you, it can't get you. Paul took in so much of God's word that a snake beat him, a viper, stuck to his hand. He flung the thing out. It didn't harm him. He was immunized against that snake bite. And it's by God's word. Are you following me? A believer must constantly speak over himself. Constantly speak over himself. Constantly. I'll show you one more about your health. Psalm 107 verse 20. Psalm 107 verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Whenever God sends his word can heal. So when he sends it, you take the word and begin to apply it. Listen to me. See what I'm saying. How many of you know that paracetamol can handle headache? Talk, come on. Do you know? Okay. Ibuprofen can handle headache and body pains, right? If I send you ibuprofen and you keep it to your room, every day just look at it, say, I have ibuprofen. You are not going to be fine. The headache will be destroying you. You have to collect the ibuprofen and apply it. How do you apply it? By taking it. It will now begin to work. That's why God's word does not work in the Bible. Oh God. Are you following me this morning? God's word does not work on the pages of the Bible. It doesn't. It is when you take that word and begin to apply it. How do you do that? By talking. And I can say to some of you that write things. I'll say more next week. God's word does not work in your notes. It works in your tongue. So you write, God tells you, I'm going to lift you. You write it in your notes. God will lift me. It doesn't work there. It's when you lift it from your note and put it on your tongue and begin to apply it. Just like I give you soap. You've not had your bath for the past 2 weeks. I'm not talking about, you don't take it personal. I'm not, don't take it personal. But let's say you've not had your bath for the past 2 weeks. Say amen. And I now love you and I send you soap. That soap will suddenly not make you clean until you get into the bedroom and begin to apply the soap on your body. That is how God's word works. Inside this Bible contain everything you need to be healthy. But you're not suddenly going to be healthy. That's why a Bible under your pillow does not drive out Satan. Let me even tell you. Satan can buy Bible. I hope you know. And keep under his pillow. Now that's why when I was telling them, I was in a meeting yesterday. I was telling them that Nollywood does not understand ministry. A pastor in Nollywood wants to pray. He brings Bible. Fire! And then fire will go from the Bible. What kind of nonsense is that? Who is the director of that film? There is nothing. See, this contains the word of God. It begins to work when you apply it. And how to apply it is by talking. It's by talking. So you're not suddenly going to be healthy because God's word said he has sent it. He has sent his word. You now take up that word and begin to apply it. So a believer must speak over his health. A believer must speak over his finance. All the time. Because there are promises of God over your finance. But you will suddenly not become rich. Your business will suddenly not blow some. Until you begin to talk. Some of you need to learn this as I'm saying. Because the reason why some of you don't do well financially is because you come to church, you pray, you receive amen, amen, amen. Then you step out of the door from Monday till you come back the next Sunday. You keep saying all the wrong words. You're talking with your friends. No hope anywhere. This baritone, everybody fill up. Even me, they collect. Now, you are saying those things. Those things are the things you are going to have. You see, that's why I told you last week. Even in your everyday conversation, don't be loose with your words. Don't be. Deuteronomy 28 verse 11. Put it up. Look at the screen. We're going to speak today because I'm not going to teach you for long. But I'm going to make you pick God's word. And we're going to speak over specific areas of our life. The Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord swore to thy fathers to give thee. See the next verse, verse 12. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give rain unto thy land in his season, to bless all the work of thy hand. Thou shalt lend to many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And I tell you, if you're already living in debt, this is one scripture you should be saying to yourself all the time. I lend, I don't borrow. And it can be your reality. I lend, I don't borrow. I don't care how much debt you have now. I lend, I don't borrow. And I tell you, I say strongly, the Lord is bringing you into the best shape of your life financially. And the best shape of your life is not when you have 10 million. It is when you have stability. It's financial stability. It's not when you have 10 million today, the next month, you've gone back to hustle. There should be financial stability. And that's what God wants to do for you. The best shape of your life. You must keep speaking. Proverbs 10:22, look at it. He said, the blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich. The blessing of the Lord is not riches. You know, I've explained this a couple of times. The blessing of the Lord is not riches. But the blessing of the Lord has capacity to make rich. And how it makes you rich is that you must say it. That's why you don't step out for your business on Monday. Or some of you that do online stuffs. And suddenly expect that people will see you. They will not see you. They will not see you. You have to start talking. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8. Put up like with NLT. Who glory. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need. And plenty left over to share with others. These are scriptures you contend with. Oh. Every morning. God generously provides all my need. You see, that's where we took that confession. We'll make every time we want to take offering. I always have what I need. I always have what to give. And I always have much more left over. It's from this verse. That God will provide all I need. That I will always have everything I need. And plenty left over to share with others. Because the purpose of wealth is generosity. And God wants to bring you to that season of generosity. Are you following me? So that you no longer be at the receiving end. You can be at that giving end too. And you don't suddenly get there. And I was telling you last week, and I won't say it again. Some of this I'm teaching you. If you go to any other religion, even people who are not Christians, even people who are atheists, they practice what I'm saying. They call it positive speaking. I get the point. Everywhere. But they took the principle from the Bible. God everywhere. You see, even atheists keep telling themselves, today will be a good day. You know, that's what they call yoga. Something like that. Where you just stay your meditation, you're talking. They took notice from the Bible. But that's not what we do. It's not, that's not what we do. No. The difference between what we do and positive speaking is that when you are speaking positively, you are wishing. When you are speaking God's word, you are saying what God has said, which cannot fail. I'm not wishing myself good when I tell you I'm rich. God called me rich. He said he will supply all I need. So I'm not wishing myself wealth. I am saying what God said to me. So you speak over your finance. Deuteronomy 8 verse 17. Let me look at that again. Deuteronomy 8 verse 17. Go back to King James. We're coming to NLT shortly. And thou say in thy heart, my power and the might of my hand had gotten me this wealth. That's the problem. That's what many of us think. Because many people think, oh, it's by my work that I got money. But look at verse 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth the power to get wealth. So every day wake up in the morning, God has given me power to get wealth. God has empowered me to walk into wealth. God has empowered me to get wealth. God has empowered me to live above poverty level. He has empowered me to be a giver, not a beggar. He has empowered me to lend and not to borrow. You have to say those things. Don't let your finance just travel like that. And all other areas, for instance, you must always speak over your relationship. Because Satan will attack your relationship. You're married, suddenly your husband begins to act up, or your wife begins to act up. You don't know Satan has come. Something that was moving well among your family, suddenly things just go haywire. You don't know the devil has come. You just sit down and just be watching. There are times you must stand up, especially if you are so sure that you are in a relationship that God wants you to be. You take it back to God and begin to contend with him. Yeah, that's the truth. Say the name of Jesus, there is peace in my borders. There is no anxiety here. So Satan, you cannot mess this up. There is no room for bitterness. There is no room for hate. There is no room for... You begin to say those things. And some of you even over your family. Because some families are under serious attack. And the attack is not that they are falling sick. The attack is that there is no peace. People don't realize that. When Satan has messed up with the peace in the family, that family is fully under his control. I get what I'm saying? Fully. Even God could not stop the building of Tower of Babel until there was disunity in their midst. Even God could not stop it. In fact, God said, these people are so united that of one voice, nothing shall be impossible to them. Even God could not stop it. And so, the Bible says, anger will give a foothold to the devil. So there is not bitterness in your relationship, in your life, and all over the place. You don't know it's the devil. That's why you stand up every time you talk. What I'm teaching is a very powerful principle. Some of you are parents here, or have become parents, so listen to me. Do you know, in Israel, every morning, there is a certain blessing that a father in every family, must speak over their children. Every morning. And then must receive it with amen. That blessing is, the Lord bless you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. Every morning. Like before they start out every day, the father must say those things over them. And they will receive it with amen. Every day. You wonder why the Jews are successful? That is it. Even today. Every proper Jewish family, before they wake up, when they wake up from morning, the Lord bless you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and make his face to shine upon you. I get the point. That's why you can't be very loose with your words. That's why you wake up every day, you speak words over your relationship, over your family. Isaiah 54 verse 13. That are words you speak. For instance, if you have a mother here, a father here, this verse is going to help you a lot. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Ha ha ha. I pray this over our church, that every son or daughter of this ministry shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of every son. We say it all the time. My children are thoughts of the Lord. Yeah, you say those things. They will not be spiritual ignorant. Spiritual ignoramuses. Hallelujah. They will know God. So put up like another translation. Another translation. Like NLT or so. I will teach all your children and they will enjoy great peace. Ha ha ha. My family enjoys great peace. My relationship enjoys great peace. Yeah, you say those things. And that's why I was telling you last week. That's why you don't come to church without a tongue. You don't come to church and talk. You just come. Because it is what I permit that will happen to me. And what you permit, and it's by your words. That's why I will say in Jesus' name, shout your amen. That's why, and I like for some of you to do it. Once I say anything, because I say, my family enjoys great peace. It's not going to happen for your family. It is my family I'm talking about. We are not talking about your family here. I'm talking about my family. So when I say it, you say it. Because I'm speaking for me, I'm speaking for you. And even when I speak for you, you must receive it with amen. I get to the point. You must have a tongue. Learn this as you grow. As you go on in life. I give you another example. You must speak over your safety. And especially with the state of Nigeria now, every human being should go over there and speak over his safety, over his deliverance, over his protection. And whether Nigeria is good or not, you must learn to talk. The Lord has capacity to keep you safe. He has that capacity. And that's why you must always say it. You must always engage it. The capacity that God has will not suddenly become a reality for you until you leverage on it. And you leverage on it by speaking. Jeremiah 15 verse 20. Put it up. Jeremiah 15 verse 20. He said, and I will make thee unto these people a fenced brazen wall. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, said the Lord. And I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked. And I will redeem you out of the hand of the terrible. You say this thing such that you keep saying at every time, God delivers me from the hand of the wicked. You say it all the time to the point that you will encounter robbers and somehow you will come out fine. And then they begin to wonder how did it happen. I told you guys last week and I say it again today. One of us here had a situation, got kidnapped, taken to a far state. And by some supernatural coincidences, he came out without paying a dime. And it is products of words that have already been spoken. Words spoken. You see, whether you are good or you are bad, evil will come. But whether evil will get to you or not, is determined by you and what you allow. But I can't permit evil in my borders. I can't permit evil around me. Can't. There are things you must say to yourself. Your confession must cover these areas. Psalm 68 verse 19. You must cover the area of your safety and deliverance. Psalm 68 verse 19. Blessed be the God who daily loads us with benefits. Even the God of our salvation. See the next verse. He that is our God is the God of salvation. And unto the Lord belong the issues from death. Go back to 19. Probably like NLT. This will bless you. He said, praise the Lord, praise God, our Savior. For each day he carries us in his arms. Oh, glory to God. God always carries me in his arms. Our God is a God who saves. The sovereign Lord rescues us from death. And I tell you, you will enjoy divine rescue. I said you will enjoy divine rescue. In the name of Jesus. Because our God rescued us from death. Are you following me? And you just keep saying it. You know, notice this was not God talking. Who was talking? This psalm is David. He was just talking. Our God. You can imagine David fought battles in his lifetime. The man lost no single battle all the days of his life. Not one battle. You see, that's not it. Not even one battle lost. Not one. So you can live all your life and lose no battle. lose no contract, lose no deal you go for. That everything you touch must flourish. You can have that kind of life, but it doesn't just come to you. You say it. Are you following me? You speak yourself to that place. That's the scripture I want to read to you. Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Maybe NLT or King James. Maybe King James. Let's just do King James. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid of? Whom shall I be afraid? Hallelujah. When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came up unto me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Hakabarata. Though an host will encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should arise against me, in this will I be confident. Look at how a man in the Old Testament is talking. The guy in the New Testament, his tongue is in his pocket. He's doing big girl and big boy with God's word. I'm just showing. Ah. Continue. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Verse 5. He said, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Glory to God. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore I will offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing. Yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. You see, David, I will. He keeps me safe. He will hide me under his pavilion. And I tell you, this can be practical. God can hide you under his pavilion. He can hide you under his pavilion. So that things can go wrong. You know, every time I learned from my spiritual father, he said, every time he flies on an airplane, and as I say it too, I tell myself, nothing can happen to this plane, because I always see my spirit where the mighty hand of God is under the plane. Yeah, he's carrying it. Every time I imagine it in my spirit, where God is just carrying us to where we are going to. And when you get into your car, see that too. And should any challenge come that there is a crash, I will appear in my room. And he said, are you that powerful? I have to start saying it to myself all the time until I just know that I cannot die like this. That this you keep saying to yourself. He says, after all the verse 8, it doesn't work. What if he said that it works? He will hide him under his pavilion. If you believe that God's word is true, then put it in your tongue. Speak over your safety. And I will tell you, one of the things I'll come to that shortly, you know, when you begin to speak a lot over your safety, it even begins to give you confidence. That's why you see, December is approaching, everybody is afraid, don't go to the village, don't touch this one, don't do that, because that is fear all over the place. But when you put God's word in your mouth, as you keep saying it, you are growing in confidence. So speak over your safety. Maybe I just round this up. You speak about your success too. Success in every other area. Let me round up. Every other area of your life. Glory to God. So ask success. Success. Today is your birthday, right? Happy birthday. Amen. So you speak about your success. Amen. Glory to God. You speak about your success. Over. That's why you're a student. You're doing business. You can speak over every area of your life. You can do that. And declare that you're going to have success in those areas. And you can speak things like Proverbs 16 and verse 3. You know, thank you, Father. Proverbs 16 and verse 3. Commit thy work unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. It's a very simple principle. When you commit your thoughts to the Lord, your work to the Lord, your thoughts, put up like an energy, the things you have in mind shall be established. Yeah. Commit your actions to the Lord, your plans will succeed. So when you commit your action to the Lord, your plan will succeed. 3 John verse 2, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. That word prosper, there is not just talking about money. It means that you prosper, that you live a successful life. And that's what God wants for you. Deuteronomy 28 verse 6. He said, blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. Let me teach you something, friend. Always expect and speak that whatever you touch will succeed. I don't believe that a believer should be in work and be the person not performing at work. You can't be the person not performing at work. It cannot be you. If my hand will touch it, I will do well at it. You see, I tell you what, I have people here. There is hardly any company where our people work where you will not hear things like, he wants half of the month, she wants half. It should be a normal thing. I get the point. And you tell yourself that. One of our people here, one of our people won the staff of our company. Now, the last quarter that just ended, the staff of the company, not just in Nigeria, I'm talking about an international company in different African countries and even in some European nations. She won the staff of the company for everywhere worldwide. For a quarter. Everybody was looking for her. Everybody was looking for her. And I'm telling you, God can give you that. And that's why you don't commit a person and expect to fail. You keep saying to yourself, I do well at this. You see, I am blessed with excellence. The Bible said he will teach your hands to make war. God can teach you to succeed. He can teach. I don't believe a student should be a member of this church. And then it's always the person writing carryover. Now, if that has been your story, you can begin to talk. It's not something to feel bad about. You can begin to work hard, begin to read, and back it up with your words. I get the point. Look at everything you press around and tell yourself, I can't be the listener. He said you shall be the head, you will not be the tail. I believe it totally. I'm not competing with anybody, I'm speaking God's word. I shall be the head and not the tail. That's what the Bible is. Did the Bible not say it? I'm not trying to be bigger than you. I'm speaking God's word. I shall be the head. Trust God for success. Hallelujah. Even success, you trust God for success. Do you understand? Trust God for success. Amen. And that's why you speak even over your future. Maybe I'll just say this and I'll proceed. Speak over your future. Over your future. Listen, I'm coming to that shortly. You're going to marry tomorrow. You're going to have a family tomorrow. You're going to work tomorrow. You're going to run a company tomorrow. You can speak over those things before they arrive. He said, I know the thoughts I have for you, thoughts of good. See, even God thinks ahead to give you an expected end. So you learn to talk over every area of your life. And I can tell you these things. When you speak over this, I tell you about four things will happen. Number one, when you speak over every area of your life, you're getting to believe the best about those areas. If you begin to speak over your health, gradually you begin to believe somehow. Because the things you are saying, they are entering your heart. So the more you are saying it, the more you are believing them. So it gives you sort of what I call a possibility mindset. That's the first thing that happens. So you begin to speak over your health, begin to speak over your wealth, begin to speak over your studies. You say this like, I cannot fail. I cannot fail. I can't rewrite this course. I cannot fail. Every of my academic story is a story. Let me tell you some of you something. Some of you that are in school and you've decided not to use a certificate when you graduate, still do well at it. That if your neighbor is trying not to smile, I'm talking to him. He said, I know I'm not going to use the academics. The important thing is, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. So that tomorrow when you say, I'm doing ministry, I'm not working. And somebody says, what did you get in school? It is good to tell the person, I made a first class. I even have a master's degree. I just want to serve Jesus. It's not I had pass, but I'm giving it to the Lord to serve him. What? But I give it to the Lord. The Lord has left it with you. Even if you don't give it to the Lord, you cannot use it for anything. Still do well at it. And that's why, as you begin to speak those things, you begin to believe the best. I believe that as many students as are represented here, that nobody is going to leave school with anything less than a 2-1. I believe it with everything in my spirit. A 2-1 or whatever it represents in you. So for some of your courses, you don't do 2-1. You just do distinction and then pass and all that. And if I trust you go for a distinction, God can give it to you. He can. And I tell you why I know it can happen. It's not just because we are praying. It's not by, I'm not going to give you a magic pen. One is, in this church, we have a culture of excellence and a culture of hard work. And you must have seen it everywhere. So because of that culture, I know you're going to put it into your books. And apart from putting it into your books, you will now be backing it up with words. That's why you don't finish your exam and you come out and say, how was the exam? You say, now, wow. That man sure is shaking. You don't talk like that. Which man show you shaking? Now you show I'm shaking. I tell people, before your exam, read a lot and speak a lot. Now, after your exam, say no negative words. Well, because whether you say it or not, you've written it. So it doesn't change anything. So why not start saying the right words? Who knows? Hallelujah. So as you begin to speak, you are believing the best. The reason why I believe, for instance, that I can never be poor, even in examples, I can't be poor, is because I've said it to myself a lot that I believe it's everything in me. The reason I believe that, you see, I can't suddenly die. I've told myself this thing too much. I just know it. It's like every part of me, even my future, my tomorrow knows this thing I'm telling you. Just like I was teaching about righteousness. I can never doubt my righteousness. I've said it to myself too much. Every day, every morning, every night, I'm saying, I'm righteous. I'm forgiving. Even if it's not true, I really believe it. I get the point. You can say it to yourself too much, but you believe it. Just like I gave an example last week. You know, your name. Even if you don't want to answer your name, if someone calls that name, you will turn. Because you've heard it too much and you've said it too much. What is your name every time? My name is this. What is your name? My name is this. They'll be calling you. So over time, you already know it beyond every reasonable doubt. That's how to treat God's word. You can say to yourself so much that even in your dream, when they wake you up, you wake up and say, I'm rich. Yeah, you can say to yourself too much. That even when you're already sick and in the hospital bed, you just know, I can never be down. Because God will not let me stay down. You can say it as much as you believe it. Jesus kept saying to himself, he said, tear down this temple. After 3 days, I will raise it. He kept saying it until the thing became a reality. That when he died, every power in heaven and on earth had to walk to make sure that what he has been saying happened. So as you're saying it, your heart is growing in confidence. Your heart is growing in faith. Your heart is growing to believe those things. And I tell the second thing that happens when you begin to say those words, when you begin to say them, is dispelling fear, doubt, worry, unbelief from your heart. Because worry is the enemy of faith. Fear is an enemy of faith. And you don't bind fear by saying God forbid. You bind fear by speaking so much faith. Fear and faith are opposite each other. Anyone you speak, you will have. But glory to God. God has not given us the spirit of fear. And so because God has not given me fear, I keep speaking faith. So you fight doubts. You fight negativity. In one simple sentence, when you keep speaking God's word, one of the things it does to you is that your heart begins to align to what God has already promised you. Because if God says you're going to have good health, and you do not believe it in your heart that you will have good health, you will not have good health. Not because God is not powerful enough, but because you don't even believe the things God has said to you. But when you begin to say it, your heart begins to fight off fear, begin to fight off doubt, begin to fight fear out, fight worry, and you grow. And can I say something to you? Even if you are down now, keep speaking God's word. The first thing that word will do is that it will travel inside you and convince you beyond every reasonable doubt that what you are facing now is not the real you. I get the point. I tell you, the words begin to fight fear, begin to fight doubt. I speak over our ministry a lot. When we started, I named this church Platform of Grace International. And that is not because I just want to sound gangam. That's because we are international. And by that time, we have not passed Abani. But we were international. And even till now, I tell you, we are international. And that is not even because people from other countries are beginning to join our ministry now and stream from different parts of the world. Whether they join or not, I know what God showed me. And what happens is, as I keep saying it, my heart has grown to believe it so much that even if I come to it and I see 4 people, I still know what God said to me. That's why you keep talking. The next thing that happens when you speak God's word is that when you begin to speak this way, you are releasing the power of God to work on that thing you are speaking. So when I begin to speak God's word, apart from that, my heart begins to believe it. The power of God begins to travel in the direction of what I'm saying. For instance, if I'm saying, I prosper, wealth is mine. What happens is, as I step out of Monday to do business, suddenly God's power will begin to work on everybody that's supposed to come and patronize me. The effectual, fervent, heartfelt, continued. That's James 5 verse 16. Prayer of a righteous man. With Amplified, he says, it makes tremendous power available. Dynamic in its working. So if I am speaking over this seat, the power of God moves from me and begins to affect the seat. Are you following me, church? If I'm speaking over my health, the power of God begins to affect my health. And I sense in my spirit that as you begin to speak over your health, there will be repairs. Oh, glory to God. So if you remember that testimony we received there last year. The girl was diagnosed with a sickness. Some of you remember when they said it was incurable. They said it had to do with her bones and all that. That the only way they have to solve it is to do bone marrow transplant and what have you. Now, watch the testimony. She was around the house then. I said, well, she got the result. I said, thank God you are at home. But I told her, go to different hospitals. They did the same test. They came to the same thing. I said, thank God you are around. What you do is, every day, I gave her books on healing. I gave her tips. I said, just be reading, be studying, be talking. Sometimes I'll come in, she's in pains. I just say, well, just speak God's word, everything is going to be fine. Now, what was happening when she was speaking at first? Why was it not working? It was working. Those things she kept saying and reading, they were entering her heart, convincing her. I didn't get the point. Then one day we were just in church, and I sensed that anointing, and I said, well, sister, come, I pray for her, power will come upon her. I remember some of you in church that day. I told her, angels are going to work on you for how long is it? For 4 days. Is it 4 or 3 days? For 3 days, I remember. Angels will walk on you for 3 days. Within those 3 days, what was she supposed to be doing? She was supposed to be speaking those words. And from that day, repairs started taking place. And some of you, there will be repairs in your body. As you begin to speak, let nobody fool you. Things are being repaired. What needs to be fixed is fixed. What must be repaired is repaired. What must be replaced is replaced. What must be created new is created anew. You begin speaking. The power of God goes to that place. Jesus said, if you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed. So when you are speaking, your words are going directly to the situation. You start speaking over your health. You start speaking over your safety. Safety is mine. Safety is of the Lord. Safety is mine. I do not trust in chariots. Neither do I trust in horses. I trust in the Lord my God. He will keep me safe and hide me under his pavilion. You keep saying this, fear is disappearing. Not just that fear is disappearing, the power of God now begins to move and begins to affect things. Affect things. That's why a gun can be pointed at a believer and it will not shoot. And it's not Old Testament. It even happened last month to somebody I know. Are you following me? The attacked person pointed, say, I didn't do Odeshi. What is even Odeshi? Satan counterfeits God. He counterfeits. Let me tell you, I believe that God's hand is upon my life. I told you guys, guns don't kill people. He said, but all people that God have killed. Well, death has messengers. Sickness is a messenger of death. Gun is a messenger of death. Famine, a messenger of death. So it's when death has prevailed that one of his messengers can walk on you. I know what I'm talking about. Why do you think people are shot? The person collects with something bullets all over his body. He's in the hospital. After everything, he comes out well. Somebody collects one bullet, he dies. Because if a man's spirit is crushed, if your spirit is not crushed, nothing can happen to you. Nothing will happen. Nothing. Because those things are just messengers of death. So the guy, have you heard when they shot them 5 times? He said they came and said he was lucky. There's nothing like luck. There's nothing like luck. People get in an accident and they are crushed. The cars are crushed. They come out alive. What are you saying? The power of God can walk and set you free. That's why you don't keep short. Don't keep short. Because the power of God is working in that very area where you need help. And I sense for somebody in this place that is trusting God for a financial miracle. Your miracle just arrived. That miracle just arrived. It just arrived. Woo!
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my.
Woo! Yes. Pray in the Holy Ghost.
Jesus, drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace. When things are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all. Here in the net of Christ I stand. My comforter, my all in all, even the dead of Christ, I stand.
Sing it again.
In Christ alone,
my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my soul. The stony ground, the solid ground. The fierce and strong and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace. When fears are stilled and strife is ceased. My comforter, my all in all. Here in the dead of Christ. My comforter, my all in all. Here in the love of Christ, I stand.
In Christ the
Lord, who took on flesh,
who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, stomped by the ones he came to save.
Turn on the cross.
Turn on the cross. As Jesus died.
The rod of God.
The rod of God was satisfied for every sin. On him was
buried the dead of
Christ. In the dead of
Christ. Let's take the last verse.
No fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me.
From life's first cry.
To final death.
Jesus commands my destiny.
Jesus commands my destiny.
No power of hell.
No power of hell.
No scheme of man.
No scheme of man.
Yes.
No fear in death. This is the power of Christ in
me. From life's first cry.
From life's first cry.
Aye, aye, aye.
To final death.
Jesus commands my destiny.
Jesus commands my destiny.
No power of hell. Come on.
No power of hell. Spirit, the power of life.
For a moment, we still have some prayers to make this morning. Sit down for a moment. Sit down for a moment. I'm allowing you to decide what will happen in your life. And this is not just because I want you to pray in this service. This is supposed to be a way of life where things don't just happen to you, where things happen for you, and the power is with you. So when you begin to speak, the power of God begins to work on that object or whatever situation. I tell you one more thing that happens when you speak. When you begin to speak, you are releasing angels to get to work. The secret to angelic ministry is talking. People want to say this like, oh, angel, come and help me. Don't pray that kind of prayer. You don't pray to angels. But once you are speaking, Psalm 103 and verse 20. Psalm 103 verse 20. Once you are speaking, angels are walking. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. So angels listen to the voice of the word of God. So when you give the word of God a voice, angels act. I get the point. When you give the word of God a voice, angels act. So you begin to pray over your safety, angels get to work. You begin to speak over your health, angels get to work. I can tell you, I believe in this thing so much. Angelic ministry, angels have conducted full surgery on people. Luke 24, verse 4. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men, this was when Jesus rose from the dead, two men stood by them in shining garments. Continue, verse 5. And as they were afraid and bowed their head, faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Watch closely. He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake to you when he was yet in Galilee. So he rose because he was saying he will rise. Mark 28 verse 5 and 6. It was so clear. He said he is risen as he said. Pray it up. Mark 28 5 and 6. And they just said unto them, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus was crucified. Verse 6. Look at the script. He is not here, for he is risen as. So the risen angels moved to make sure that Jesus came back. He said. So we are talking about releasing angels to act. I feel like praying with you already, so I'm going to sense the power of God. Written angels to act. So your words are not mere words. The words of the believer, they are not mere words. And that's why you don't curse people. And that's why you don't curse yourself too. That's why you don't say this about it. That's why you don't say my own is finished. You're just saying nonsense. I'm a very, very strict spiritual person, if you know me. You know, some of these songs come out. That's why songs are powerful. And people try to talk about them. People say, like when there was this song that came out, talked about being broke. There's a song like that. What if you see the point? The reason why people say, oh, forget that thing, just vibe to the song. After all, I've been saying I have money. Do I have it? You don't know the power of songs. I said this last week. Anything you keep singing, gradually your heart is accepting it. And so, whether you think I'm being too serious or not, I don't sing nonsense. I don't. The man telling you that if he's broke, it's his business. He's making money from the song. You are paying to listen to the song. He's attending shows for the song. And you are saying that if you are broke, I don't such things. Even in example, I cannot be broke. You don't understand. I'm so deliberate. You say why? Because I need all the money I can get for the gospel. When I see people who are in need, people who, believers who have needs, who need ordinary clothes to wear, who need just ordinary school fees to pay, you know you need a lot of money. And you can't use your tongue and be saying, if I broke, broke is who is broke? Jesus said, the poor will never be lacking in your midst. And I told my people this morning, don't be the poor. Do you understand? You can decide on which side of prophecy to be. You can be on the positive side of prophecy or the negative side of prophecy. The poor will never be lacking in your midst. He didn't say you will be the poor. The Lord daily loads me with benefits. There is no good thing that he will withhold from me. And if I just proceed and I close, I want to tell somebody, what God wants for you is not to be at a survivor state. You cannot be at a state of survival and you are lending to nations. It's like, I give you just four things and I close. How to speak the word of God. How to speak the word of God about your situations. Very quickly. Number one, make sure what they are speaking is God's word. Make sure you agree with God. Don't make sure you're not speaking things just, I'm going to be fine. I'll succeed. Make sure you're speaking either God's word from the Bible or God's word that he has put in your spirit, man. So you don't just come out and start saying, I'm going to get 10 million. No. I always tell people, I prefer that you go to the place of prayer. And as you are praying, God places a word in your heart. That's how to do it. And then you now take, that's why it's homologio. Are you following me? You now take that word from God's word and begin to speak. And if God places no word in your heart, it's fine. He has said a lot in the Bible already. Go there, pick from there, and begin to speak. It is secular humanism that just says things like, I'm going to be fine, everything's going to be fine. That's not speaking God's word. Let me show you something. Acts 27 verse 20. You see how Paul spoke God's word. He didn't just say what he felt or what he wished. Let me tell you the background of this story. They were traveling on the sea. And he got the point. Paul told them, see, you people should not leave this place. So I sense that this ship is going to go down. God told him. Of course, they disobeyed him and continued on the journey. And by this time, everything put up like NLT so that we can be very fast. Look at the screen. Are you ready? He said, the terrible storm raged for many days, blotting out the sun and the stars until at last all hope was gone. So this is where they were. All hope was gone. No one had eaten for a long time. Finally, Paul called the crew together and said, men, you should have listened to me in the first place and not left Crete. You would have avoided all this damage and loss. I warned you guys, but you guys didn't listen. Now watch what follows next. But take courage. None of you will lose your lives. He told them, even though the ship will go down, none of you will lose your life. Why was Paul saying this? He wasn't just wishing them. Watch what follows. For last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me. And he said, don't be afraid, Paul, for you will surely stand trial before Caesar. What's more, God in his goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with you. So take courage. If I believe God, it will be just as he said. So Paul was saying, none of you will die. Not because he was wishing, but because he was speaking from God's word. I get the point. So how to do this is take God's word. Either what he has put in your spirit, or what your pastor, your man of God said over you, that is God's word too. Or what you see in the Bible. So that's why if I didn't get any word from God over this, but I already gave you a lot of scriptures to that about your safety. A lot of scriptures to that about your health. Take from there, it is God speaking to you. Whatever you see in the Bible is God talking to you personally. So you take from the measure, you're not just speaking. That's why, you know, Brother Eki will always say, find scriptures that cover your case. Don't just be shooting into the air. Oh, it will be fine. That's how people, we are not wishing. The word will come to pass, not just because you are saying it, but because it is God's word. So you now take it from God's mouth and put it on your own mouth, and it now begins to work. So you speak. The second thing on how to speak these words is learn to speak ahead. Don't wait for a situation to arise before you begin to talk. Yes, you should speak when there's a situation, but it should be a constant practice that you speak even when there is nothing going wrong.
Speak about your health when you are healthy. Speak about your finance when you are full. But the problem is, one of us begin to speak, oh, I prosper, and the money comes. You stop. It is when the more money has come that you now become, see, that's why I normally teach you guys, make a routine out of speaking God's word. Some of you that came for LMP, remember I touched on this. Your quiet time should include studying God's word, meditating on God's word, prayer, and speaking God's word. Even if it is 5 minutes before you leave the house. Every day. Just touch different areas. Just bless your day. Today, whatever I touch is blessed. Today, whatever I touch flourishes. Today, my tongue is sharpened to preach the gospel. Anyone I speak to receives from me and gets blessed. Today, I cannot fall sick. No sickness works in my body. Every germ or virus that touches me will die at the power of God. Glory to God. So, you speak ahead. I already showed you the story of Jesus. He said he is not here. He is risen as he said. So way before Jesus died, he has been talking. Tear down this temple. I'll raise it in 3 days. Oh, I'll die. When I die, I'm going to rise. In 3 days, you know, he kept talking. He kept talking. And the resurrection and life, he kept talking. Now, you keep speaking ahead. It's not when death has come. You are now about to die. You're going to say, hey, if I die, I'll wake up in Jesus' name. That time, you are responding to fear already. I get the point. It's fear you're responding to. But when it's a constant routine, you're just talking about your health, speaking about your finance. So you speak all the time, speak ahead. I showed you, for instance, when I was starting, how David confronted Goliath. I began to tell him, I will destroy you. But you know, even before David began to speak to Goliath, David has been talking. In that 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 37, he already had told Saul ahead of time. The guy didn't just meet Goliath and start talking. Because those things he was not telling Goliath was not directed at his heart, it was directed at Goliath. But he has been saying things that had made his heart very strong in faith. Are you following me? David said, 37, you're right. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered him out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver him out of the hand of these Philistines. You know, he was already talking. So don't wait for Goliath to come for certain Goliath. You see, we'll see today, bet me, I'm going to destroy you. Think, no. Wherever Goliath has come, you've been talking. Nothing will go wrong. I always win. I always win. See, I cannot lose a battle. The battle is not over until I win. That's why I like what the choir did this morning. I'm struck down but not destroyed. So you just say you've beat me down. This guy does not lose. Adamele Gileo. Do you understand? Are you following me, church? Now, if you don't understand, I just leave it. It was not meant for you, but it just means, what it means actually is, there's no way to explain elegantly. So leave it. It's not even my language. Do not just leave it like that. But you got stuff. I get the point. So you keep telling yourself, I can't lose a battle. I can't lose a battle. You talk every day. Have speaking sessions. Before Jesus met Lazarus in the tomb to raise him, he was already talking. John 11 verse 4, he said, this sickness is not unto death. That was before Lazarus died. After Lazarus died, John 11 verse 11, he said, our friend Lazarus is sleeping. John 11 verse 23, he said, your brother, he was telling Martha, your brother will rise again. Before he came to the top of Lazarus, where he said, Lazarus, come forth. He was already talking. Learn to speak ahead. Don't wait for a sickness to come and you begin to pray. Be talking. So second thing I say, speak and speak ahead. The faith of God speaks ahead. Thirdly, when you are now facing the situation, speak despite whatever you see. And this is what I want to emphasize a little before I close. No matter what you see, you see, when the situation has come, learn to speak. Jesus saw death. He did not speak death. He spoke life. Genesis 1 verse 1, in the beginning God made heaven and the earth. Verse 2, and the earth was without form. Let's count it. The earth was one without form. The earth was void. Darkness was upon the face of the earth. So it was a terrible situation. So when God came, God did not begin to discuss darkness. He spoke light. The faith of God does not deny the situation. It's not when you don't have money and saying, I have money. The faith of God speaks despite whatever is happening. So I can tell you what, that's why people ask me, some people are trying to speak faith and you don't have money to come to church. And I say, do you have transport fare? You say, yes, I have transport fare. You say, I'm speaking faith. No. Let me tell you, I can tell you, well, for now, I don't have. But whenever you talk like that, make sure you don't stop there. Put what I'm telling you into your everyday conversation. Well, for now, I don't have a job. But I know that very soon. That's how I talk. I can't come and be telling you, I have a job. You don't have a job. You don't have a job. So, well, for now, there's no job. But I know that very soon. Very soon. For now, I don't have a house to stay yet. But don't worry, by next month, I'll be in my own apartment. Don't you talk like that? So you speak, whatever thing you see, don't change your conversion. Keep speaking. And as I'm going to tell you, be stubborn. Insist on God's word. Be stubborn. I'll show you two scriptures and I close today. When you are speaking God's word over a situation, no matter as your health is breaking down, be saying it. My health cannot go down. The word of God is life to my flesh. Because Satan always wants to show you evidence that your prayer is not working. He wants to show you evidence that your words are failing. But I know it's like I know my name that I don't have my words. And that's why I always tell you, I tell God every time, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who never allows my words to fall to the ground. That's why if I tell you you are blessed, your own is finished. You are totally blessed. You are totally that you are. I know my words. And how did I get to know it? I kept telling it to myself. I woke up every day and said, I don't have my words. And that's why, let me say this before I close. You know, I just said, I should talk about it. That's why you don't tell lies. Because when you make a habit of telling lies, you are saying something with your mouth. Your heart knows you are lying. You are teaching your heart not to believe your words when you say them. And as I believe that people that make a habit of speaking falsehood, lying, say that it's not, you know something is happening, you're saying the opposite. You are learning to say what is not true. And even when you begin to pray for the sick and say, sickness, you are healed, your heart has believed that those things you are saying is not true. So you become deliberate with your words. You begin to say to yourself all the time, my words don't fail. My words don't fail. Not over my life, not over anybody. My words don't fail. I don't have mere words. So when you, because if you know what I just said now, you don't ever take no for an answer. I told somebody, confess over your health. The person said, how long should I do that? I said, until you see it. He said, there's a pain in my hand. So sir, tell me, how long am I going to confess till the pain is gone? Continue confessing it. Continue. And I like miracles that are received through a process. I can come to a crusade and just declare, be healed, and you get healed. But you see, you just received a miracle, that's all. But when you receive a miracle through a process, you kept confessing the word, you kept declaring, you have not only received a miracle, you've received how to deal with further issues when they come. You've learned it by experience. I get the point. You've learned by experience. So you don't stop talking. You don't stop talking. 1 Kings 18 verse 41. Elijah, he told his servant, that first of all, I love the word of God. He told his servant, go. He told Ahab, now watch. Please pay attention. Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up. Eat and drink. He was speaking ahead. For there is a sound. He was speaking ahead. He wanted rain. Then after Ahab left, now Elijah went to Mount Carmel and cast himself down and now began to pray. I began to speak words. So he told the servant, you go and look towards the sea and see if you will see anything. Because he already knew there was going to be a sign. The servant went the first time and said, I saw nothing. He didn't say, you saw nothing. Jesus Christ. And I've told Ahab that rain will fall. Let him not embarrass my ministry. No. He kept continuing. He said, go and check again. Second time. The man came back and said, nothing.
You know, I ever prayed for people that frustrate your prayer. You pray for the sick, after praying, how do you feel? It was here. It has come up here. You get again in Jesus' name, the power of God, move. How do you feel now? It's reducing, but it's reduced here, but it's now here. Say, what's wrong with you? Why is sickness all over your body? I want to go for crusades. So that's very interesting. Pray for some women. Say, how do you feel? Those on Sky crusades, we went for those days. Say, how do you feel? He said, oh, lama, man. Oh, nami, wa, mami, wa, no, koko. Oh, koko, te, ma, be. You know. You now get again. Move. Healed in Jesus' name. He said, mama, get a cord. Man, I enjoy those crusades. I'm very enjoying them. I don't think they can never be fine, no matter what you do. No matter what. And it was the case. So Elijah said, go and check. The man said, I see nothing. He didn't even try to encourage Elijah and say, well, I see nothing, but everything will be fine. He said, I see nothing. Your words are not working. Your prayer is not working. Nothing is changing. But the man kept speaking. Until the seventh time. He said, seven is the number of perfection. Well, it wasn't, that's not, there's no mystery there. It was just that it was at the seventh time that it happened. Your own seventh time is whenever you see it. Don't get tired though. Continue every day. Pastor Prince will tell of how he noticed Pastor Joseph Prince, how he noticed the growth in his hand. He said every day he would tell the growth. Be gone. He said he spoke over it. He said he spoke over it until he lost count of how long. But every morning he would tell the growth, you are gone. Get out of my body. We are not here again. Every morning. He said he kept speaking to a point. He didn't even realize the thing has gone. He was still speaking every day. You understand the point? You have to be, your will to get results with God's word must be stronger than the will of the devil to see you fail. So he was not even counting. I've been speaking the past week every day. Begun, he's just a month. He was talking. One day he said, have you checked this thing you're even talking to? He said, oh, he's not more there. You are still not there. You must keep talking. Jesus met a man that was blind. He prayed for the man and told the man, what do you see? The man said, I see men like trees. Jesus did not say, well, manage it. Sure, I've not seen at all before. Yes. Now you are seeing men like trees. Did I not try? He said, I tried. You go like that. Jesus said, come back. He touched him again. So you are praying over your finances. I receive abundance. And then a certain 15K enter. Go for that. Glory to God, it has come in. So you don't stop. If you think I said, oh, glory to God, you keep talking. Don't say, I'm going to manage it. Do you have stubbornness? Some of you are stubborn. You're just using it for the wrong reason. You're using it to fight everybody, to fight your leader, to fight your parents. There is a way to use your stubbornness. Stubbornness is in the place of insisting on God's word. So that's why I told you, confession is a daily routine. That's what it should be. It's not what you do, everything. When things now change, you now stop. Mm-mm. Every day. That's why after now, I'm going to write some confessions for you. You know, we already have a full book on that. A PDF, 50 days of declaring God's word. We're going to give you more. And when you bring those books, don't just go through them. Mm-mm. It's not in your heart. It's with your tongue. Hallelujah. Laughter will spill from my doors. There are things you say to yourself. Laughter will spill from my doors. That thing you say to yourself, it's not just in your heart. You're just saying, why are you like that? Are you dumb? Are you dumb? You know, the Bible tells us the tongue is like it's tearing of the body. So imagine you enter your car and you're not deliberate about where you are moving your steering to.
the car will carry you go where you don't know. And that's how it is when you are just saying anything. They just talk anything. You turn your mouth, just say, Nigeria, this barbarian has killed us. He killed everybody. All of us are dead. This country, everybody will collect. So this December, let me see who will spend 1 naira. As you are talking like that, people are building houses. People are buying cars. People are buying lands. You hear the point? Let me see. Nobody is spending anything. This one touch everybody. This December. No, the email is a lie, yo. So what are you saying? So I enjoy divine health. I enjoy wealth. I enjoy safety. I enjoy prosperity. I enjoy success. My future is secured. I enjoy the good things of life. Glory to God. How many more minutes do we have? Let me see. I want us to do something. I see I have just a little time. So the next 10 minutes, stand to your feet. Let's talk. Stand to your feet, let's talk. Now, what you're going to practice here, you will do when you get home. And it should become a part of your life every day. You see some of the people you call great men of God, you read about. This was their routine. I know a man of God that's lived up to 9, I'm not joking, lived up to 89 or so. And he never used glasses. His eyes did not dim. When they asked him what's his secret, he told them, simple, come to my room. He said, you see this place? I speak God's word here every day and I pray in tongues. Are you following me? Life is predictable. Life is predictable. Words are spiritual laws. Once you set them in motion, nothing can be done to change it. Not even my own words can change what you've said over your life. Lift your voice. Lift your hands all over the place. Pray in the Holy Ghost first. But I'm going to lead you to make some confession. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Shimano da bero de abatagadosha. In Jesus' name we pray. Now it's time to put God's word on your lips. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 15. Nevre goto do boshadia da lagadosh. Zivre ketete boshada. Let's start from verse 12. From verse 12. Verse 13, verse 12 is the foundation. Now say this with me. Say, God loves me. Have a voice. We're going to say it as spiritual as you can. God loves me. And he is blessing me. He is multiplying me. He is multiplying the fruit of my womb. He is multiplying every part of my business. He is multiplying every part of my business. Every part of my hustle, God is multiplying. Verse 14, I will be blessed above all people, and none shall be barren among us. Say it again, say, none shall be barren among us. Now verse 15, the Lord takes away all sicknesses from me. The Lord has taken away all sicknesses
all diseases, all infirmities from me. I walk in divine health. I walk in divine health. I walk in divine health. Pray in that line. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost in that line. Deuteronomy 28 verse 11. Pray. Pray. Those words have spoken. In Jesus' name we pray. Verse 10. Say, all the people of the earth. All the people of the earth shall see that I am called by the name of the Lord. That I am called by the name of the Lord. They shall see and know that I am called by the name of God. Oh, glory to God. Verse 11. And the Lord shall make me plenteous in goods. You didn't hear that? He will make me plenteous in goods, in the fruit of my body, and all that concerns me. And verse 12. The Lord is opening unto me his good treasure. He has opened unto me his good treasure. He blesses all the work of my hand. I lend to many nations. I shall not borrow. The days of debt has ended. I do not live in debt. I lend to nations. I do not borrow. The Lord has made me the head and not the tail. I will be above only. You didn't hear that part. I will be above only. You know what that means? No down moments. This day we got our word for the year from. Upward movements only. I will be above only. I will not be beneath. Do you believe those words? Pray with them all over this place. He makes me pleasures in goods. I am above only. I will not be beneath. I am above only, not beneath. He makes me plenteous in goods. He makes me plenteous in resources. I rise higher and higher. Isaiah 54 verse 13. Oh, glory. You're going to speak this concerning yourself, concerning not just your children, if you don't have children, every part of your family. Say, all my family, all my relatives shall be taught of the Lord, and they will be in peace. Hi-ya-ya. Say it again. So, my family, they are taught of the Lord, and they enjoy peace, and they enjoy peace, and they enjoy peace. Go ahead and pray with those who concern your family, your relationship, your family, your loved ones. They are taught of the Lord. They know God's word and they enjoy peace. Hey, Abaradash. Hey, Korobo de Bada 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 Koba Babetandush. And Tuare de Karabadeshania. Zozove, in Jesus' name we pray. Jeremiah 15 verse 20. We're going to take it right the way God has said it. We need a translation. Are you ready? Say, people will rise against me. like an attacking army. But the Lord will make me secure as a fortified wall. I will not be conquered. For the Lord will protect and rescue me. For the Lord has said it. Say yes. The Lord will certainly keep me safe from wicked men. He will rescue me from their cruel hands. Second, say yes. The Lord will certainly keep me safe from wicked men, and he will rescue me from their hands. Psalm 68 verse 19. You're going to pray over your safety. He said, praise the Lord. Praise God, my Savior. For every day, he carries me in his arms. Oh, I feel it as I say it. For every day, he carries me in his arms. My God is a God who saves. The sovereign Lord rescues me from death. He rescues me from death. He rescued me from death. From now till the end of this year, till next year, I enjoy divine rescue. Divine rescue. I'll show you one more, then we'll pray with it. Psalm 27 from verse 1. Hey, Gabarato Konosh. Oh, Zizevenesh. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord, of whom shall I be afraid of? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, oh, when they came up to me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host will encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. One thing I'm sure of is that I dwell in God's house all the days of my life. For in the time of trouble, he will deliver me. He will hide me in his pavilion. Oh, he shall set me upon a rock. Oh, and now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies. Ah, my head is lifted up above my enemies. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy. I will sing. Glory to God. You are enjoying divine rescue. God's protection on you. God's protection on you. God's protection on you. Let's take just one more verse. Deuteronomy 28 verse 6. Ah, I feel like reading the whole chapter to you, but it's fine. In fact, let's do from verse 1. From verse 2, actually. Say, all the blessings of the Lord shall come on me and overtake me. Put up verse 3. Say, blessed am I in the city. Blessed am I in the field. Blessed is the fruit of my body. Blessed is the fruit of the ground. Blessed is my business. Blessed is my finance. Blessed am I when I come in, when I go out. Say it again, say, blessed am I when I come in, when I go out. You know, I'll close. Paul told Timothy, he said that the prophecies that have been spoken over you, that with them you will war a good warfare. You fight wars with the words that God has given to you. So Every word God has spoken to you is an instrument of war. Do you hear what I said? Everything you see in the Bible, there are things to fight with and to contend with. There is peace in your borders. You see, this week, this very week, you will enjoy speed. And I say it how I heard it in my spirit. You enjoy speedy supply. Speedy supply. Speedy supply. In the name of Jesus. And I'm hearing the Lord say to me, there is a cycle for many of you that is about to end. There are two things I saw in the spirit. There is a cycle of sicknesses. Every time you are visiting the hospital, it's a cycle. You go, you come back, you get better. You go, you come back. That cycle has ended. As you go back, put God's word on your lips. Be saying it every day. God wants to end that cycle totally. And he's ending it already. And as some of you, it's a cycle of lack. It looks like things are getting better and they go bad again. Things are getting better, they go bad again. It looks like you're about to celebrate, you go bad again. That same cycle has ended. From now, above only. Above only. Above only. Upward movement only. Come on, do a dance in the Holy Ghost. Rejoice in the Holy Ghost. Rejoice in the Holy Ghost. Rejoice in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Let me say something to you before I leave you. You see the things I'm teaching you, Listen. Paul John said the things which our eyes have seen, which you've handled. I tell you under God, this I'm telling you is how I live my life. Some of you, do you wonder how a young man like me is doing ministry and not under salary in anywhere, not in the church, not anywhere, and my life is fine? I speak what I see every day. You know, my own is too personal. I know if I stop talking, I'm finished. You, if you stop talking, you might receive salary. If I stop talking, I'm gone. I know it. Because God said, when I was starting off in ministry, he said, all I want you to do is to know that I am your portion. And I know what that means. If I stop talking, my own has finished. So, what I'm teaching you is, if you don't want to talk, it's fine. But this is how I live my life. Couples should have speaking sessions. Your kids are sleeping. You come to them and begin to talk to them. You begin to talk to them. Your business, you speak to it. Don't ever come into your shop on Monday and open shop. What are you doing? Open the shop in the spirit before you start. You will sell. You. And customers come from everywhere. You see, from now, there is a magnet on your body that attracts good things only. Good things and good people only. There are abacha around you, should stop coming. Good things and good people only. Do you believe God's word? Do you believe God's word? I'll give you 3 minutes and I'll leave you. God has said a lot of things to us today. We've declared and the Lord. I'm going to give you 3 minutes. As the ushers are displaying the offering envelope, start speaking. Take any of God's word. Begin to announce it. Act like you are the only person inside this hall, because you are the only person here. Begin to shout God's word. Supply.
speedy supply this week. Divine rescue this week. Divine rescue this week. Divine rescue this week. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. And we all say amen to what you said. And it's done. Hallelujah. Package your offering. I want to talk again, but I'll just package your offering. If I serve you, that's what I want to say. Oh, glory to God. Life is predictable. Success is. Now, as I've taught you now, we're going to practice it now. Raise your offering to heaven. Please put up the account number on the screen. If you don't have your cash, you can use transfers. We encourage you to do that all the time. So you do that and then you give your offering and you'll be blessed. Now say with me, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I have abundance. My needs are met. My debts are being cleared. And they disappear totally. At every point in my life, my supply is bigger than my needs. I always have what to give. I always have what to spend. I always have much more left over. Because I'm blessed. I'm getting my houses. I'm getting my lands. I'm getting my properties. Everything I need to do life in a godly way, they are mine. Because I'm blessed. I lend to many nations. I borrow from none. For the Lord my God has given me power to make wealth. So I'm blessed. Give a shout if you believe this was as well. Hallelujah.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.